But David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, how can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care? In other words, he's afraid. You know what? I'd be afraid too. If somebody reached up and touched that thing and he fell dead, I ain't going to walk up and touch that thing. Are you Jennifer? No, I ain't going to. You think God means business, young lady? You know he does, don't you? He means serious business. How can I ever bring the ark of God, of the Lord, back into my care? So David decided not to move the ark. Just leave that baby sitting there. You know, let's get the priest over here and let them move it somewhere else. But we ain't messing with this thing. When God says nobody but these priests are to touch this thing, he was serious. So David decided not to move the ark. What did I do? I lost the... We go back just a little bit. Yeah, we move too quick. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, there. So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. He took it instead to the home of Obed-Edom of Gath. Had the priest take it over there. In other words, we get it to the closest place we can get it out of ours and get it in somebody else's care. You know, because I don't want to touch this thing. Do you, Eldon? Not unless we're ready to go home, right? And I don't want to go home with God's anger. Do you, Bill? That's the last thing I'd want, is for him to say, Bill, that's the last mistake I'm going to let you make down there. Bam, I'm bringing you to house. And then you come in and say, well, you didn't obey me, but I brought you home, but you ain't going to get no rewards. How would you like to hear that from the king? I don't want to hear that at all. Do you? It is scary. It really is. But the ark of the Lord remained there with the family of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now then, I'm sure this guy don't want to get rid of this thing. You know, if it's in my house, you know, you guys, it's okay. You guys, I ain't going out and tell everybody I'm being blessed because I want this thing to stay around forever. You know, I mean, you would, wouldn't you? His whole family's being blessed. I mean, he ain't never been blessed. So, okay, now, Jordan, let's go to the next two. Then King David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's home and everything he has because of the ark of God. Now, wait a minute. If David, if he's being blessed, David said, I need to be blessed. So David went there and brought the ark to the city of David with a great celebration. Now, what? Brought it there with a what? It wasn't no little thing. I mean, what'll go when we start out? He only had how many men with him? Only 30,000. That's a little bitty troop, right? 30,000 of them. And David was out there. I mean, they were dancing and singing and praising the Lord. Were they not? Well, I think that's a pretty good sized celebration. I never been in a church with 30,000 people dancing before the Lord. Have you? I ain't never been in a church with 30,000 people. You know, I ain't never been in one church with 3,000. You know, but I will have to say, the day I was in the one with 3,000, I think James was there with me that day. And I believe he was the one that told me, how many standing ovations did Jesus get that day? Yeah, I mean, it was a bunch of them, wasn't it? When you tell a story, I mean, I didn't even realize it, but James told me later, he counted them. But when you tell one of these stories, people just jumped up and praised God. You know, and I thought, wow, it's awesome. I thought, man, they ain't praising me, that's for sure. I'm just a little country boy. But they're giving the king praise and worship and honor. But it says, everything was blessed because of the ark. So David went there and brought the ark to the city with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying it had gone 6 steps, only 6 steps, David said, hold it. We got to worship and praise the Lord. We got to make a sacrifice to the king. So they made 6 steps and they stopped and waited so David could sacrifice an ox and a fatted calf. Sacrificed them, killed them, cut them up, and the blood run. That sounds kind of messy, don't it? But that's what he did, isn't it? The blood. I mean, that Psalms and everything, and that song that Dave went over a while ago, what is it that cleanses us today? The blood of Jesus, of a man. The blood of God. You know, he cleansed and purified us. Without that, you ain't going to get in heaven. You ain't going to get there. I don't care what you do. I mean, you can't be good enough to get there. But one after he washes you with that blood, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that think they're going to be okay, but after he washes you of that blood, he expects you to straighten up your act. Amen. He expects you to stop sinning. Amen. He expects you to walk holy before him. And there's going to be a lot of people that is going to continue to live in sin. And then one day they're going to think, well, you know, my daddy abused me when I was a little girl. So I'm going to have a grudge. I'm thinking about Norma Garcia and her testimony back there on that TBD. Norma was a great mother and a great grandmother. You could ask her children, what about Mama? Oh, she's a great woman. She loves God. She goes to church every time the door's open. She's the sweetest thing. Ask your grandbabies. Oh, Grandma's the best woman you ever seen. But Norma's always in the hospital, having a surgery, doing this, sickness, disease. And now she's down with Parkinson's and lupus and probably going to die pretty soon. And she heard me teach about all these things one night. And she said, you know, I had a grudge against my daddy. I held that internally. He abused me when I was a little girl. But I have legal right to hold that grudge against him. He abused me. But God didn't see it like that. Because of her disobedience, God had sent a tormenting spirit to her, and she had had numerous surgeries and been in hospitals in and out and had been beaten up on by the devil all those years. And a few years ago when I went down to Louisiana and taught, and she got a hold of that, and she walked down that aisle repenting, Lord, I repent. I forgive my daddy. And all I did was reach up and put my hand on her shoulder and say, in the name of Jesus. And the King instantly healed that woman of everything. 4 or 5 years later, she went out to GLC with us. She said, I ain't been back to a doctor in 4 or 5 years. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. What if you don't know He's good? What if you don't know His laws? What if you don't meditate on those laws? I mean, you know, she's a little sweetheart. Surely God wouldn't send a demon to one of His little sweethearts to torment her because she held a grudge against her daddy that abused her. But He did. And she paid the consequence for all those years. And then when she got right with God, He forgave her and healed her. Hey, I don't want to carry that grudge and have to be sick and afflicted in and out of the hospitals for 10 or 15 or 20 years. Do you? No. I'd rather do it His way and walk in divine health. But David, he feared the Lord, didn't he? I'm telling you. And do you fear Him? Let me tell you, I do. I stand in awe of him. So David went there and brought the ark. And then it says, after the men who were carrying it had gone 6 steps, they stopped and waited so David could sacrifice an ox and a fatted calf. I mean, he's washing the place with the blood. Amen. He's killing these animals. Amen. Okay? And David danced. Oh, he did what? Now, I hope none of y'all would be offended if someday I jerk my coat off again like I do and start and get violent before God. Amen. I hope you don't. I hope it doesn't bother you. Because David danced before the Lord with... Amen. You think that's getting with it, Eldon? He wasn't going down a road like this, was he? Some people get offended at this. Some people get offended at this. I used to be in a church that it took me a long time to get to where I could raise my hands because nobody else in that place would. Nobody. So I finally thought, okay, Lord, I'll just sit on the front row and then I don't have to know what they're doing. And then one day I was in the post office and there was a lady walked up to me and she shook my hand and said, hi, Thurman, how are you doing? I said, ma'am, I don't know you. You act like you know me. She said, oh, yeah, I know you. My son and I, we know you well. I said, well, ma'am, how do you know me? Oh, she said, we go to the Baptist church that you go to up there, that big one up there on top of the hill. I said, well, I never saw you. Oh, she said, we see you every Sunday. She said, one day we were there and my little son, he's 10. He looked over there and he said, you were the only man in the congregation that had your hands up. Amen. And he looked and he says, Mama, why does that man have his hands up and nobody else does? She said, well, son, I guess he just loves Jesus maybe more than the rest of us do. Amen. And she said, I didn't know what, said I, in a few minutes I looked down, he stepped out an aisle and he had his little hands raised. She She said, my son looks for you, and every time you raise your hands, he steps out in the aisle. He says, that man loves Jesus that much. I want to love him that much too. Is that the kind of influence you want to be on the little guys? You want to be a football player that's a drunk or whatever and let the kids be, you be their idol? No. I want them to see me worshiping the King. Yeah. I don't want them to see me no other way. I don't want them to know me no other way. But I was so floored when she said that. I said, well, I guess he just loves Jesus more than we do. She said, my son always holds his hands up in church now. It no matter where we go, when they start singing and praising, he holds his hands up. But isn't that sad? That you can go to a church and people feel intimidated. I mean, they go to a church where nobody's got their hands up, they ain't going to raise theirs. Who cares what somebody else is doing?
Amen.
You know? Who cares if there ain't nobody else dancing? Who cares if there ain't nobody else praising the Lord? Maybe God's only got something for you today. But David, what did he do? He danced before the Lord with all his might, only wearing a priestly tunic. In other words, he's almost naked. He got a little something on. You know, now, I just took my coat off, you know. Now, I could have went a whole lot further, you know, took my shirt off. And some of y'all would have really went nuts if I'd have done that, wouldn't you? She would have said, who is this man up here on the platform? Well, let's see what happened to David's wife. So David and all Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with much shouting and blowing of trumpets. Is this a party? Are these guys praising the King? I mean, they're praising the King. Let's go to the next couple. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michelle, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window, and when she saw King David, her husband, leaping and dancing before the king, she was filled with contempt for him. She didn't like it. My husband, the king, how dare him dance before all them little peasant girls out there with no clothes on? How dare him do something like that?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.